Thank you, Jesus. We were made for Him. We were created for Him and for His pleasure. It's absolutely normal for mankind to worship its Creator. Amen? So we worship in spirit. We worship in truth. And we are children in the court of our King. Hallelujah. And I love that testimony of David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. And it says that he danced with all his might. Amen? It wasn't a little whisper of prayer in the morning moment. Amen? It was he was going for it. And he was not ashamed of his God. Amen? Hallelujah. And he didn't care anymore what anybody thought. He wasn't going to be controlled by somebody's opinion of him. Amen? He was hungry for God. Amen? He was appreciative of all that the Lord had done in his life. And for the fact that God's presence was with them, that is something to celebrate. Amen. That we get to house the presence of the Lord, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He is in us. And if He's not in you, He can be in you today. Amen. You see, it was just like what Sister Judy was talking about. Sometimes we're just floating on the water and we're in association, but God wants you to get in the water with Him. Amen. He wants to immerse you. He wants to baptize you, submerge you in His presence, His holy presence. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? It just completely shifts the whole atmosphere of your mind, your thinking. Everything begins to transform and God is glorified as a result. Why are we here? What's our purpose? We're here to glorify the Lord. We're here to point people to the only one who can save, the only one who can heal, the only one who can rescue, amen, and deliver you. Hallelujah. Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen. He wants His people to be alive, to be on fire. We went to one of these old traditional churches, and I can remember the hard, I don't know if they were oak or whatever they were hard bench pews. And I remember it being so quiet in there. You know, man, if you heard it, you could hear a pin drop on the floor, you know. And there was a song that back in the day that said, you know, Christians are so nervous anymore. Well, you can hear a pin drop on the church house floor. And if you get the coffin, know the score. An usher brings a cough drop or shows you to the door. There must be something more we need to feel. Amen. And maybe by our actions, folks can see it's real. David danced before the Lord. The blind man leaped so full of joy. And on that Sabbath, they did shout, palm leaves thrown along his route. There's got to be more. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a God. This celebration in heaven, by the way. Amen. Heaven is not a boring place. Amen. My concept of heaven, you know, is what I saw in the pictures of the little fat babies with the wings, you know, on playing harps on clouds or something. Like, man, that sounds like a boring life, man. I don't know if I want that. Are you hearing me, somebody? How many know that there's a celebration 24/7, amen, in heaven? Continuous praise. God inhabits the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. It's glory. Hallelujah. And as we connect with heaven, heaven and earth comes together. As we lift up our praises to God, there's a coming together. And the glory of heaven comes and manifests on the earth. Amen. And signs and wonders and miracles begin to happen. And God sovereignly begins to touch people and heal people and transform people. Hallelujah. So it's about the presence, and it's about being immersed in the presence of God. It's not going and a little dabble do you or a little sample job here and there. No, it's about I want Him and I want all that He has for me. And God invites us to come freely. And why do we want what God has for us? We want what God has for us because what He gives us is for somebody else. What God gives us is for somebody else. He gives gifts, amen, not so we can just have goosebumps, so that we can be a blessing, amen? We can impart those gifts to one another. We can minister to the body of Christ, and everybody is mutually edified as everybody is functioning in the purpose for which they were created. God has given each one of us in Him a gift set, and He gives us the responsibility to be faithful with what He's invested, amen? So we need to be looking for the opportunities. And God gives opportunities if we're paying attention. If we're paying attention. Amen. And you can't pay attention unless you're connected to Him. He's our sight. He's our discernment. And He's the one that turns the light on. He's the one that can expose what is in the darkness and bring it into the light. Amen. It's just like that Leviathan, that crocodile. You know, have you ever seen a crocodile in the water? You know, sometimes all you see is a couple bubbles, those eyes peeking up above, right? Everything else, it's not what's on top that you got to be concerned about. It's what's underneath, right? And what God does is He blows the water away and shows you what's going on underneath the surface, amen? So that you can deal with the heart of the issue rather than just the fruit. You see, God deals with the root, not the fruit. He wants to work on the root of each one of us. He wants to get to the heart of each one of us. If God changes the heart, then the life changes. Amen. If we're here just for self-improvement, forget it. It's not going to work for you. You got to let God have access to your heart, and you need to let Him do that work in your heart that only He can do. And when your heart changes, your life will change. Amen. If it's in your heart, if the love of Christ is in you, then the love of Christ will motivate you. The love of Christ, as Paul said, it will constrain you. The love of Christ in you will motivate you and move you in the direction of His will. Amen. If you abide in the love of Christ, then you will bear fruit. But we have to stay connected. That's our responsibility. Amen. So I can remember occasionally things were happening. And when we were real young, my folks weren't always Christians, but they did get born again. We went to a Baptist church. It was an American Baptist, very traditional kind of Baptist church in a place called Jewett City, Connecticut. And they got a pastor in there that was on fire for God. Holy Spirit filled pastor, you know, and he was just rocking the house, if you will. And he was really messing up some religious spirits, by the way, because he was breaking every tradition that they had, you know, because he just wanted to move in the Spirit. And we had, I can remember the glory of God falling. Even though I was a little kid, I was watching children move in the Holy Spirit. I was watching children prophesy correctly, accurately, by the Spirit of God as children. There's no junior Holy Spirit, by the way, right? Then that's an example of something that had kind of been, that had happened to me years ago. But at that time, I was kind of like a lot of people are, just observing. Kind of curious about it and wondering, what was that? What does this mean? And people come sometimes even here and they're kind of curious. They're kind of checking it out, kind of figure out what we're all about. And, you know, you've probably heard this said before, but a good illustration is if you could have a really scrumptious orange and peel that thing and start eating it. And you can go, oh, man, this is an awesome orange. And eat it in front of somebody, you know. And they could look at it, and it may appear to be good. But they're not going to really know how good that is until they do what? Until they really start to indulge themselves, amen? And so God wants to take us from the sampling, amen, into the dining room, into the banquet hall. He wants us to get from the chip and dips, amen, to the prime rib. He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And God always serves the best, by the way. And God makes Himself available to us. The question is, are we willing to seek? Are we willing to go after Him? Or are we just going to get the things of God? Well, God, if You give me this job, come on. Well, God, if You'll heal me of this affliction. Well, God, give me these gifts because those gifts will make me look real important. Are we looking for the things of God, or are we seeking the heart of God? You see, we got to go beyond the outer court, don't we? When you give a gift to your children, you give that gift with hope. An expectation that child will see the heart of the one who gave the gift. Isn't that right? You don't want a child with an entitlement mentality. Whatever. Throw that on the pile with the rest of them. But you want a child that says, thanks. Wow, this is awesome. Thanks for thinking about me. When you give a gift to a friend, why did you give it? You gave it because you wanted to connect with that person. You wanted that person to know how much you love them, how much you cherish them. And God gives himself to us because he wants us to know how much he loves us, how much he cherishes us, and how much he wants us to be with him. He doesn't want us to make a God out of the thing he gave us. He wants us to go beyond that and go to the God who gave it. Amen. Go to the heart of the giver and get to know him. And open up your heart and let him in. Let him in. We got to get out of the kiddie pool. Just come in once in a while. I'll do a little sample. I'll do a little church thing here and there. To where I'm willing to trust the Lord to the degree that I'm willing to take the plunge into the deep end with him. To step out of myself, out of my control, to where now I'm submitting myself to his authority, under his sovereign control. I've gotten from where I'm just kind of splashing around in full control in the kiddie pool, to where now I'm jumping into the deep end of the will of God, to where now that river of his presence begins to take me. Are you hearing me? God wants us to be motivated, led, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not just sampling God and doing a little thing once in a while. We're event people. We'll come and we'll do an event on Sunday. Oh, that was a great meeting, a great event. And maybe we did get blessed and maybe we did get filled. But how many know that God wants us to be continually filled? God wants us to say, amen, keep a full tank of oil on a daily basis. Amen. So what we get here, we're equipped with something. But when you receive something from God, if you're equipped with something today, you take what you receive and you find somebody to give it to. Amen. And what you give away, you won't lose. If you give, it shall be given unto you. Do you understand? The reason why a lot of people don't seem to retain or bear any fruit is because they're not being faithful stewards of that which they do receive. And so when we receive, we need to be looking, say, Lord, I have something from you today. How can I use this to bless somebody else? Or who is this for? Do you ever get a gift from somebody? Maybe it was monetary. And the Lord said, that's not for you. That's for somebody else. Okay, who? And as you give, then God says, I'm going to take care. And it begins a flow in your life as you're giving out, as you're being faithful with what you receive, the deposits of God in your life, then he begins to pour into you, amen, in abundance. And it begins the river flowing in and out of your life. And you will be a well-watered garden. You will be refreshed by the Lord daily. You will bear fruit in every season, even when Jesus cursed that fig tree. He says, you'll bear no more fruit. And the Bible says that it was in the season of the ripe fruit. Amen. Or it wasn't in the season of the ripe fruit. And so Jesus curses this fig tree. And we're saying, well, that's kind of curious because it wasn't the season of figs. And yet Jesus cursed this and said, because you haven't borne any fruit, he came and he found nothing on it. So he cursed it that it wouldn't bear any more fruit. Now, why is that? Well, because this particular fig tree was a fig tree that was supposed to bear year round. It wasn't just your traditional fig tree. This was a special fig tree that was to bear fruit year round. How many know that you and I have no excuse for not bearing fruit year round? If we abide in him, if we continue in him, amen, then we will bear fruit year round. We will be a continuous, amen, vessel of God's flow. We want to get from just the things that are falling out of the sky, falling from heaven, amen, picking up a little manna here and there. Are you hearing me? But we want to get into the place of the abundance. We want to get into the place where the land is flowing with milk and honey. We want to get into the rest of God. We want to be, amen, immersed in the river of God's presence and continue and abide in that place and bear fruit day after day, year after year. And the day is going to come when everybody will see Jesus Christ, and we want to hear Him say in that day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful," amen, "in season and out of season. You continue to abide. You continue to be faithful to me and to that which I've entrusted to you. You've taken that and you've given it away. You've shared it with others. You've gone and you've reproduced in the earth." That's what God is looking for. He's looking for fruit-bearing trees. And if we are the planting of the Lord, amen, then we should be bearing fruit. We're not here to do an event, amen. We're here to receive so we can just be built up and strengthened and encouraged and encourage one another and take what we have and invest it. Because what you give today, amen, you don't lose. We're investing in eternity. We're investing in eternity. What we give out of obedience to the Lord is eternal. You'll have treasure in heaven. Has everybody here got enough stuff in your house already? If I just get that one more pair of shoes or that one more purse or that one more... No, I'm going to pick on the guys. That one more boat or gun or whatever. Motorcycle. Then I'll be satisfied. How'd that work for you? Momentary, right? Didn't satisfy. Why? Because the only thing that's going to satisfy you, we got to learn this, we got to get this, is to be in Him, to abide in Him, to continue in Him day after day. And if you do that, God will make sure that you are a fruit-bearing fig tree, amen? And that someday, hallelujah, you'll enter into your reward and hear the Lord say, "Well done." How many here want to bear much fruit? Amen? We want to bear much fruit, yeah? How many know that God doesn't make you bear fruit? Some people are waiting around for God to do something when God's saying, "I've already told you what to do. If you start doing what I tell you to do, I'll be with you and I'll manifest myself through you." That's how it works. Because, right, isn't it true? A lot of people are waiting for God to do something. And one of these days, an angel's going to break through the heaven, you know, and show up and tell me all these things. No, God's already given you instruction. What are you doing with what you have in your hand right now? What are you doing with what God has already showed you to do? "Well, God, if you would just speak to me," the Lord says, "I've been speaking to you." Hello. Are you listening? We're asking for more, but we're not doing anything with what we have. And if you're faithful with what you have, God will give you more. But it doesn't work the other way around. You just don't get from, amen, from the plate to home base without going through the bases. You got to follow the Lord. It's a step-by-step process. Amen. We're all looking for the home run. Can you say amen? We all want to hit the home run. But sometimes it's a series of base hits, amen, that get you to the plate. And so God works that way. He wants us to, step-by-step, follow Him. Steps of obedience every day. It's not always going to be the sensational and the big thing. It's just going to be little things sometimes. Amen? Because God wants to use us on a daily basis. Sometimes God is moving on us to pray for somebody. You're getting somebody in your heart. You feel like something's up with them. You ever get that? Something's up with so-and-so. What's going on? But we want to get to the home plate, don't we? But we got to go through the series of the steps of obedience. So God may tell you to pray for somebody. You know, you get somebody put on your heart. God's saying, intercede, enter into your priestly office. Amen. Other times you may encounter a situation that requires you to take, you know, your authority as a king before the king. Amen. A kingly anointing where you have to make a decree and you need to speak a word and you need to maybe take authority over the enemy. Amen. And cast demons out or get into a house. You ever get into a place where you just feel like, man, this place is crawling with spirits, bad spirits, you know? And so what do you do? Do you run and call Ghostbusters? No, you just say, you know, "Jesus, you've given me the authorization in your name to deal with these things. And in Jesus' name, you're going to go right now. You have no authority here. In Jesus' name, I command all unclean spirits in this place to go right now. And you will obey. You will go." No is not an option. We take authority in Jesus' name. Amen. And don't let that devil talk you out of something that God has already told you to do. Amen. If God says to do it, then He's going to back up His word. You just stand your ground and you refuse to yield, to give in. Amen. To fear or any other trick the enemy wants to throw on you. Because we're not supposed to be in any way intimidated by our adversaries. Right? We're not supposed to be afraid. The only one we're supposed to be fearful of is the Lord. Amen. In a good way. That means to take Him seriously. So we need, how many would agree with me that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And we need to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not just making a pit stop today, but you receive something today. If maybe God has primed the pump today, God has stirred up something within you today, then you keep fanning the flame, amen, in your spirit by praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord and staying connected. Amen. Staying connected to brothers and sisters. Staying connected to the will and purpose of God in each day as He may be directing you to speak to somebody or to pray for somebody. Amen. Or to encourage somebody. Being faithful in what He's given you already. Yeah. All of us have received. Well, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Something that my mom did for me. I don't know, Bruce, if you got anything from mom like this, but that really was kind of special. Is she kept a little? My mom was a writer. You know, she knew how to do shorthand. She was a nurse, and she just was always writing and journaling and things like that. But she did this little booklet. It's called A Mother's Love. And in that book, it contained a section where you were supposed to fill in the blanks. Okay? And these are some of the questions. Or let me just give you number one. A message I gave my children often. And believe me, if you grew up with Bruce and I, you can understand why she had to give us this message often. Behave yourself. Be a good boy. All right. A message I gave my children often. Number two, something I wish I told them. Your father and I are glad we had you. How many know that our words are powerful? And what we speak over our kids, you know, can really have an effect either for positive or negative. Depends on what we want to speak over them. How many know we're supposed to be speaking blessings over our children? Amen. And even when they act up, it's still, you don't curse your children when they act up. Amen. You may need to take the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, but you don't curse your children. Amen. You discipline them because you love them. Number three, the best advice I gave my children. Hear this. I thought this was good. Make the world a better place for others. Isn't that something that's missing today in our society? Everybody's kind of like in it for number one. No, I'm not talking about y'all, but, you know, it's just like this very entitled, selfish, self-centered kind of world we're living in today. Amen. And especially in America, America has really shifted to where you used to know your neighbors. When I was a kid, we knew the kids in our neighborhood. There was about 25 of us, and we used to run around and from yard to yard and play and get into trouble together, but we had a sense of community, and we knew each other's parents. Most of us knew what the inside of their house looked like. You know, we would go into people's houses, and they'd come in ours, and Bruce is the only one that had a little, now I'm dating ourselves now, we had a record player. Those little box record players, and the little 45s, you remember those? And those little things in the middle that you put on them so you can stick them on that thing. And we used to do stuff like, I want to hold your hand. Yeah. And so we were like, we had the only one. And so we had this porch, right, between the house and the garage. And so we would be playing music and all the kids in the neighborhood would come up. And we'd just be dancing and having a great time, you know. There was a sense of community. People knew each other. You know, and it wasn't like everybody was paranoid and suspicious and couldn't trust. You know, that's missing today, isn't it? It's like we've lost the sense of community and nobody trusts each other. And it's hard even to get to know people because people are so afraid you're going to take advantage of them that they don't want you to know them. They don't want you inside their house. It's kind of a sad situation. But you know, as the family of God, we need to understand that, you know, we're members of one another and we need to have community. Amen. In Christ. We know in Christ is true fellowship, is true community. Amen. That's where you're going to find genuine love. Amen. And a Christian brother or sister should be the most trustworthy person. But something, you know, that really stood out is when she said, make the world a better place for others. That's good advice, wouldn't you say? And my mom, I thank God for my mom because she's such a loving person that everybody would confide in my mom, you know. Where they had all their problems, the phone was always ringing because my mom was, oh, I'm sorry. And then really, and she would pray with people, you know. But I thank God for a mother that prayed. Amen. Because there was a lot of times I was out trying to outrun those prayers and I couldn't, you know. Like those angels were chasing me down. And I thank God for that. And mothers, don't ever give up on your kids. Keep praying for them. Keep believing God for them. Amen. Because your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are effective. And each time you pray in the name of Jesus, amen, for the salvation of your sons and your daughters, know this, that you're praying according to the will of God, that none would perish. So you're praying in agreement with a prayer that God answers, even though we may not see it right away, and even though they may wander off for a season. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So we are consistent. We keep sowing good seed, amen, into the hearts and lives of our kids and praying for them and blessing your children. Bless them, amen. Don't curse them. Speak the blessing of the Father over them. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace. And, you know, may you have a day filled with the righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand, parents, that God gives you the authorization to actually invoke a blessing, to call a blessing upon your children, even your grandchildren? You lay your right hand upon them and you invoke that blessing. You speak that blessing in faith. Amen. Just like Isaac blessed, right, Jacob. And he blessed Jacob and Esau. He blessed Esau too. How many know that God wants the Arabs to be saved too? God wants the Muslims to be saved too. God's not willing that anyone should perish. Make the world a better place for others. And now, the most valuable thing I gave my children, Christ. There's nothing more important than that, is that your children have Christ. Amen. That they are His, they're born of His Spirit. I want us to take a look at 2 Timothy today because this is where we see an example of heritage, of that being passed down generationally upon Timothy, who was the son of, in the Lord, of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. You see, Paul understood the importance of praying, amen, and keeping people covered in prayer, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And look at verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And then he references again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He's given Timothy instructions in the Lord as a spiritual father, and he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Do you notice the balance there? Amen? For teaching, equipping, right? But also for correction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Someone once said that behind all successful men are women. And I have to say that my wife has certainly been a tremendous blessing to me. I'm thankful for my wife. That we're in a lot of ways different, but that's good because God brings a balance through that to us. Now, I'm just going to say it. My wife is a prophet. Anybody that knows Hesuk, she's very black and white about things. Okay? And even though I have that to a degree, I'm more of an administrator, a leader, but also I think a lot I lean towards mercy, you know. And because of that, sometimes I'm not functioning with enough edge as I need to when I'm dealing with the situation. Sometimes I'm overly diplomatic instead of sometimes just saying exactly what needs to be said. When it needs to be said, sometimes I can tiptoe around the issues. You know what I'm saying? And that's where Hesuk will come in and she'll just go wham. She'll just say it. And a lot of times she shocks people and they're kind of like, oh, and then they go, oh, okay. And some of it is cultural too, because the Korean ladies, you know, especially as they get older, they're like tough love moms, you know, they just kind of let you have it, right? But that's her way of expressing her heart of love, you know. And she's just very straight and black and white about things. But what happens is God brings us together to create a balance in that. To where, you know, I can have more edge today. I can be more assertive and more direct when I need to be. And at the same time, God has also been honing Hesuk and bringing her into a more graceful approach to things. We're still a work in progress. Anybody beside myself still in the process? Okay. Okay, good. Anyways, because I see somebody back there looking over their glasses with their clipboard saying, You know. I'm kidding. But isn't it true, though, that women have an impact and women are important, obviously. Women came out of man. So a man is really not complete without a woman. God made us that way. We're part of the same thing. We're the same substance. When God brought Eve back to Adam, he said, "This is what? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." And the two became one. Amen. So there you have it. And so women are very influential in our lives. And, you know, as a matter of fact, if you take a look at some of the giants in Scripture, and you know, how great big butt-kicking Samson there, you know. He was kicking Philistine butt, and all of a sudden, you know, this little lady comes up, and she's got him wrapped around her finger, you know, and was very influential in deceiving him. You look at Solomon, who had it all together and had the riches and had the acclaim, and yet it was because he loved many women, and God told him not to, you know, intermarry with other women outside of the, you know, the faith, if you will. And he didn't listen to that. And so it says that his wives turned his heart away from God. So women, they have the ability to be influential in a good way or a bad way. Amen. And the same thing with men. We can influence in a good way or a bad way. And we should be a good influence, amen, in our families. We should be an example. Guys, we should be an example to our family. We should be taking the lead, amen, the role as the head of the house. Hallelujah. Amen. We should be instructing our children Amen. We should be praying with our families. We should be working together as a unit. But I tell you what, my wife has been such a blessing to me over the years. And you know, God has used Heisuk as a governor. Sometimes the Lord will use your wife, guys, as a governor. And what I mean by that is like a carburetor. Right? I'm talking to the mechanic. You know, kind of like that carburetor, right? That restricts the flow. Because I've been zealous for God, for example, and God filled me the Holy Spirit, and I was saved, and I'm like, yeah! I'm like, I'm out of the gate, you know? And it's like, honey, let's go do this, and let's go do that. And she's kind of, whoa! Got one on the line here, you know? And she'd kind of like, she'd bring some stability. And sometimes just to kind of make me rethink about some, or think through and pray through. You know, and there's a time when I knew God was telling us to pack our bags and move back to New England. Kind of like somebody I know recently that made a big move that, you know, you didn't really even know where you're going to actually find yourself eventually, but you knew that God was saying, come here. Come to this location. And so that's kind of what we did. And I kept hearing that. I said, well, honey, God wants us to move back east. And I was out here in Washington, and I kept getting that, and I was like chomping at the bit. We need to go. And she's going, I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that. And, you know, and so, okay, let's just pray about it some more, okay? And then one day, you know, I said, honey, I really feel that. This went on for a while. I said, God is really telling us to move back east. She goes, okay, let's go. She got confirmation. It was the season, yeah. But the season, the timing of that was perfect because it worked out where our daughter was, she was finishing up high school. Yeah. And so it was the right season. Everything just worked out. So then we moved. And, you know, it's interesting. God had told us that through an old man that we were friends with, he was an old man of God, you know, in his 90s, prayer warrior, heard from God, you know, and he said, you know, I have a word for you. Just before we left, he says, because the door opened up for us to a church here in town. And he says, where are you going? It's going to be 2 years, three at the most. But it's only a stepping stone to get you to where I want you to be. And when I came, I had no... That was the farthest thing from my mind, right, Sherry? You understand. I was like, no. Well... Okay, what I'll do is I'll just process it and put it back in the back, you know, in the back burner. And then sure enough, almost 3 years to the day, there was a complete shift and a change, and it happened so quickly that it blew my mind. I'm like, what just happened? What just happened? Within weeks, everything changed. Amen? It was just a matter of weeks. Everything changed. And then God brought us over to this place, this building that's empty. Nothing here, just no people here, but still had an audio visual and, you know, had a building and still even had a couple dollars, I think, in the account. That's another whole story. We won't go to that, but anyways, we came here and, we landed in the perfect will of God. This is the perfect will of God for us. But God used Heisuk in many ways, not just that, but other times to bring some balance to me and to keep me from making presumptuous decisions that I hadn't prayed through, I hadn't really thought through, you know. So guys, understand that a lot of times, I heard somebody say this the other day, that God's voice sounds a lot like my wife. Sometimes that's true. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes that's true. And ladies, you understand God's voice sometimes sounds like your husband too, right? So we need to really examine everything and lay it before the Lord, make sure we get confirmation. But God will bring you into agreement if you're both seeking Him. And then you can make a decision that is based upon the truth. So, now, Timothy here had this heritage of a godly grandmother and a mother. Amen. who had instructed him as a boy, bringing him up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so he had already had some foundation in his life. And that was of great value. And Paul just made mention of that. And the importance of having godly mothers and grandmothers that are able to pray for and instruct their children, their grandchildren. Amen. That, ladies, you do have an impact, you know, in people's lives. And Hannah was another one. She was the mother of Samuel, remember? And she had travailed before the Lord because she wanted a son. And in that culture, that Eastern culture, women that didn't have children were often, you know, scorned and they were looked down upon. And so she was, you know, grieved because she didn't have any children and laid out before the Lord and just travailed in prayer to the point where, you know, Eli the priest thought maybe she's been drinking or something, or because she was just so undone in God's presence and desiring that God would give her a son. And then the Lord had heard and answered that and gave her the prophet Samuel. And what did she do? It says that she, verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Do you understand? The safest place to put your children is in the hands of God. God gives us children, amen? But we need to take those children and dedicate them back to the Lord. She said, "I'm giving this son back. I'm lending him, if you will, to the Lord." Now, children are basically on loan from the Lord. How do I know that? Psalms 24:1. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein." Amen? Those who dwell there. In other words, Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. "Behold, all souls are mine." Your children belong to God first. Amen? They're on loan from the Lord. And what is my responsibility towards my child? To raise up that child, amen, in the way that he should go. To be an example to that child. To live, amen, a godly life. To demonstrate, not just tell the child what to do, but to demonstrate through my life that this is the way that we conduct ourselves in this world. Amen? In a way that's honorable, that glorifies the Lord. He says, "All souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine." And then he was talking about the soul who sins shall die. But that's a true statement, that everyone, amen, all souls belong to God. And everyone, one day, is going to see the Lord in the sense that every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Barack Obama. I don't know why I put them together, but every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because all souls belong to him. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So everyone will go before the Lord someday. How many are looking forward to the day when you see Jesus? How many says, "I want to be able to look forward to that day"? You understand? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows when we take our last breath. Brandon, what happened to you could have been your last moment. Amen? And God spared you, but he spared you because he's called you. You got to get on it, brother. Amen? Because the time is going quickly. Yeah. God saved this young man's life from, he got ran over. And But there's something, a treasure in you that God wants you to release. Amen? And you got to be in fellowship, though. You got to connect. Can you do that? You will. Everybody heard him say that, right? He's going to do that. We love you, man. We'll be good to you. Okay. But we want to see you do well. We want to see you thrive. We want to see you bear fruit. You know, Brandon, when you do good, I do good. You know, when a brother or sister's doing good, we're doing good. Amen. We celebrate what God's doing in other people's lives. Amen. We don't get jealous over what God's doing in somebody else's life. We celebrate that. Why? Because we're all part of the same family. We're all serving the same master. Huh? We're all building and advancing His kingdom. But children are simply on loan from the Lord. Never give up praying for your children. Galatians 6:9. How many know that one? And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. God's faithful. If you continue to sow seed, amen, the right seed, the right fruit will come in time. Keep on blessing. Keep on sowing into the hearts and lives of others. Keep on making this world a better place for somebody else. Amen. We can't just be in it for ourselves, guys. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. He's sending you and I to be disciples, to be followers, to be salt and to be light, to be world changers, to be influencers in this world for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. For the advancement of His kingdom, for the glory of God. Husbands, my responsibility, your responsibility is to love your wife. Ephesians 5:25, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. We should lay down our lives for our wives. Amen? And when you bless your wife, you'll be blessed. Why? Because you're of the same. Are you understanding? When I abuse my wife or I say something I shouldn't to my wife, it comes back on me too. Why? Because the two are one. You want to have a blessed marriage? Start blessing, amen, and loving and cherishing and prioritizing your wife above yourself. I know sometimes we're tired, we get home from work, and we just want to kick back in the easy chair, you know, or whatever. And maybe the wife's been home with the screaming Nemes all day long, and, you know. And she just wants somebody to talk to, maybe. Or here, take Junior. Is that where he get his name, by the way, Junior? Here, take Junior. Never mind. But guys, think about it. Jesus gave Himself for us. Jesus denied Himself to minister to us. He went all the way to the cross for us. And He's saying, I've given you an example, guys. I want you to do the same for one another. Amen? Don't live for yourself. Make the world a better place for somebody else. Amen. Be a blessing to someone else. Take what I've given you and I want you to invest it into the lives and the hearts of other people. Amen. So that there will be an abundance. There will be a harvest of righteousness in the earth. Do you understand, folks? America would not be where it's at today if the church had done its job. If the church had just simply taken the word of God and yielded themselves to the Spirit of God and gone out and did what Jesus told us to do, to be salt and light, America would not be where it's at today. But what's happened is the church has been asleep. And while the church has been asleep, the enemy's been very busy. He's been sowing these seeds of iniquity and wickedness for years. Amen. How many know that it's time for the church to rise up again and say no more? We're going to turn this around. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I don't have to throw my hands up and give up and say, well, the America's going to hell in a handbasket. Some people say, I refuse to accept that. Amen. We're going to say no. We're going to turn this thing around because Jesus is greater than he that's in the world. He's given us the authorization to destroy the works of Satan, amen, and to change the atmosphere wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you go. You are salt, you are light, you are the head and not the tail. You are to influence, you are to shift the atmosphere in those places, amen, and not bow down to the cow of political correctness. But what does God say? We're going to obey the word of the Lord. And God will give you the boldness you need if you call on Him and you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts and you have confidence in God to do that which is impossible naturally. Because it will be the evidence of Christ coming through our lives. It will be the supernatural manifestation of God's presence through our lives as we yield to His Spirit and allow Him to work through us. By simple acts of obedience, by simple steps of faith, by simply taking what I even received today and finding somebody to share it with. Amen? And as you do that, as you sow, as you give, you're going to find that you won't lose. I started teaching Sunday school as a new Christian. Didn't know much. You know, got one of those curriculum things and just started studying and doing my lessons, right? You know? And as I was preparing to teach the kids, I was learning. You know? And as I was giving out, I was finding out that this stuff was staying with me now. Teach your children. There's someone in your life that God has assigned to you to minister to. Romans 5:8. God shows His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our heavenly bridegroom so loved us, amen, that He laid His life down for us. Jesus gave His life for His church. Gave His life for His bride. He gave His life so that we could be with Him forever. And the bride's response to this love is to love Him back. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. What is my reasonable service? What is my act of worship? What is true worship? True worship is loving God back. Thank you, God. I was lost. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. And You intervened. You took my place on the cross. You paid the price that I deserved to pay so that I could be let out of that prison and be set free, amen, to live a new life of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, to become a citizen of heaven, to be a child of God. Hallelujah. It's my reasonable service to give myself back, my body, and say, Lord, how can I bless You? How can I love You back? How can I serve You today? Do you know the love of God? When you know the love of God in your heart, you will want to serve Him. Are you born again today? Do you really have the love of God in you? You want to make sure you have the love of God in you. Make sure you're truly born again. Not just an occasional attender of church and doing a religious thing, but actually you know God personally, that He has come to dwell within your heart, that Jesus is in you and you're a new creation. And if Christ is in you, then you have those motivations and those desires, because the Bible says that God will work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You cannot be idle. You cannot be complacent. When the fire of God is in you and burning, amen, you will be motivated to serve God. Ooh. It's like Jeremiah said, right? It's like fire shut up in my bones. Oh, he tried to be silent, but he could not. And finally, children, honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, it didn't say honor your father and your mother as long as you're living under the roof, by the way. I know some people, they just throw their parents in the nursing home and forget about them. Are you hearing me, somebody? I mean, they may need to be in a nursing home, but don't forget about them. How many know, amen, they raised you, they invested in you, they gave into you, amen? Now it's time for me to bless them back, amen? Take care of your parents. Love, respect, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and you will receive the promise of a long life on the earth. That word honor means to prize, to revere, to fix value upon. I value my mother. Amen. She's something to be cherished. Thank God for mom. There's no perfect mothers, amen, but your mother is the gift of God to you. Don't abuse her. I think back at the times when I was being a knucklehead and I was young and I was rebellious. And the times I had disrespected my parents and my mom, and you know, you can't go back. You can't change any of that. But what I can do is apologize. Amen? And I can make a change today and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to honor my mother. I'm going to start honoring my father, not just once a year on Mother's Day, but we should continuously honor our father and mother. Amen? As long as we're here. And so I've told my folks, they're getting up, they're in their 80s now. I told them, you guys never have to worry about, you know, being abandoned in your old age. Because I know my brother and I too, right? We're going to be there for them. You know, we're going to make sure you're taken care of. If we have to take you under our roof, we're going to make sure you're taken care of. Come on, son. Somebody say amen. So the most important thing a mother can give her children is not a new toy. Amen. But Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to finish with this verse, Matthew 16:26. Jesus said, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Folks, it's so sad that so many are only concerned about the physical needs of their children and that they have all the latest and the greatest and the trends and they're wearing the latest styles and you know, and people are working themselves all hours so that their kids can have the best, what they call the best, and yet they're losing their children because there's no fellowship, there's no communion of family. There's that element's been, they have all the stuff, but they don't have family. What is more important? I would rather be living in a trailer with my kids, amen, than in a mansion and have my kids going to hell. I'm going to finish with this. This is called Mothers Who Pray. A guy named Dr. Joseph Parker. Blessed are the men who have had praying mothers. The influence of that fact they cannot shake off. They may curse and swear and go to the very boundary of the pit. But I question whether through all their sufferings they can ever shake off the influence of having had a praying mother. The mother's devotion comes up in the boy's veneration, love of right, conscientiousness, magnanimous hope, and gentle courage. How many have heard of J. Hudson Taylor? He owed much to his mother and her prayers.
Once, when she was absent from home for several weeks, Hudson Taylor, being free and at leisure, picked up a tract one afternoon and determined to read only the story part and to stop before he came to the spiritual application. He felt, however, compelled to read on to the end, with the result that he decided to accept Christ as his Savior that afternoon. Now, if you know anything about Hudson Taylor, he was a missionary to China, I believe, and very influential. Many, many, many people came to Jesus. And it was a result of the example of a mother. He arranged with his sister Amelia that he would be the first to announce the news to their mother on her return. Listen, this he did and was surprised to learn that she already knew of his decision for Christ. Greater still was his surprise when he learned that no one had informed her. That afternoon, when Hudson Taylor was converted, she had been praying for him and received the assurance from the Lord that he had become a Christian. What the world owes to Hudson Taylor's mother's prayers. Behind every great man is a great woman. Amen. So let's honor, let's cherish our wives and our mothers. It's important that we remember to speak those things to the people that we love. Amen. Tell them how much you love and how much you appreciate and why. Amen. Their labor is not in vain. All that my wife does, a lot of stuff she does that sometimes I take for granted. You know, she's been so faithful to take care of my dirty clothes and just, you know, she just keeps such a good house, you know. And it's one less thing that I don't have to focus on. She just does it. But do you understand that as she's doing these things and taking care of the home, she's actually doing it as a service before the Lord. It's an act of worship before the Lord. Ladies, don't ever think that housework is not honorable and it's not something that God would take note of. It is very much a part of your act of worship before the Lord, is that whatever we're doing in the natural, whether in word or in deed, we do all, amen, to the glory of God. So you work, amen, in that capacity, whatever you're doing in life, guys, too, you do it all for the glory of God. When you work for a boss, amen, you're working for the Jewish carpenter, amen. And if your ways are pleasing to him, your boss will be pleased too, amen. So you do your best for Jesus, amen, in everything that you do.